Good day, and welcome to the Florida Chamber of Commerce Launch My Career Florida Briefing. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Brandy Brown, Chief Operating Officer of the Florida Chamber Foundation. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, all of you, for joining us today. We are bringing to you live this morning a first look at the new Launch My Career Florida website. This website, Launch My Career Florida, is a digital tool that we will be officially releasing next week at the Future of Florida Forum. But we wanted to give all of you an opportunity to get a first look at this and to ask questions and sort of help us in the final development phases of this website before we roll it out. This tool is a partnership between the U.S. Chamber Foundation and the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity, as well, of course, as the Florida Chamber Foundation. Today on the line, we've got Jamie Francis. She is the Director of Programs and Operations at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, and Mark Schneider, who is Vice President and Institute Fellow at the American Institutes for Research. One housekeeping note before we get started, we are going to have time at the end for Q&A and for discussion. If you would like to queue up for a question, you'll simply need to press star 1. Again, that's just star 1 if you would like to take part in a Q&A session at the end of the briefing. So at this time, I'd like to invite Jamie Francis to kick us off here. Jamie, all yours.
Thank you so much, Brandy. And folks, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us. Really excited to talk to you about the Launch My Career website and bringing it to the state of Florida. I, along with my great partners at the American Institutes for Research and Gallup, are very grateful for the opportunity to show you a little sneak peek at the website, but also to talk to you about the importance of working with partners such as yourself to make sure that this great site is actually used. One thing that we have found through data, lots of behavioral science research has shown that just because you give somebody good information doesn't mean that they're going to use it to influence their decision making. So we've found it incredibly important to work with colleagues around the state, identifying important stakeholders such as yourselves, working with business leaders, working with college counselors, high school guidance counselors, parents, teachers, and others to talk about why we should provide students with better information as they think about where and what they want to study. What you will find, and I'm sure my colleague Mark Schneider from American Institutes for Research will emphasize during his presentation, is a lot of times we're talking about what you study and how that can impact what happens to the return on investment that you receive from a post-secondary degree. We at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce think that having a consumer information website like Launch My Career is incredibly important because we commonly hear from business leaders that they really don't know how to get information about the in-demand jobs that their industry has to offer in front of students. There are a lot of misconceptions out there as to what those hot jobs are. And the fact that we can bring this state-specific resource to you all with program-level data, we think is something really special. It's something that not all states in this country are willing to do, so that's one of the reasons that we are so incredibly grateful for the great partnerships that we've built in the state of Florida to be able to bring this high-quality data to you. This site has been launched in other states. We first started in Colorado in June of last year and then moved into Tennessee and Texas later in the year, and we've been very affirmed by the response that we received from folks. But the trick really is when it comes to the dissemination plan and the partnership building and creating relationships with folks like yourselves who can help us get this information out to students, because it's not meant to be a silver bullet. It's not meant to be, here is this, you know, great information and then don't do anything with it. It's really meant to start a conversation. So if students have the opportunity to understand, you know, what are the hot jobs in my state? What are the career pathways that lead to those jobs? What are additional skills that I can add to my arsenal to make me a more competitive applicant for a job? That information can be very powerful. And we think that students certainly, you know, while we're not trying to dictate a decision that they make when it comes to where and what they want to study, we do feel that it's incredibly important for them to have this information. So I'm really excited for you all to have the opportunity to learn a little bit more about Launch My Career and how it can start that really important conversation about how do you match your lifestyle goals with the career pathway that you are ultimately choosing for yourself based on what you want to study. How can we help students feel empowered with information, not inundated with it? How do we make sure that the information that they are receiving is of the highest quality that's available at the state? So we're extremely excited to get to bring this into Florida. I'm probably biased because I happen to be from the state of Florida. I was born and raised in Tallahassee, huge Seminole fan. Sorry for you Gators and Hurricanes on the line. But I think that there are so many students, when I think back to my own high school experience and trying to figure out what and where I was going to study, there are a lot of great institutions in the state of Florida, a lot of great programs that the state has to offer. How is it that we can connect students to those that will help them choose and lead lives of purpose when it comes to both their professional and personal satisfaction? So we will be launching this tool, as Brandy said, at the Future of Florida Forum next week in Orlando at 10 o'clock, where Mark will give a presentation and we'll host a press conference with folks from around the state. But we're really looking to you all to help us. We'll be at the U.S. Chamber, we'll be partnering with local chambers of commerce from across the state to stand up communications plans and try to get this information into the hands of students. And what we've found in the other states is that these partners have been essential in connecting us with students, because as much as I love my former admission counseling background, I don't have that opportunity to work directly with students on a day-to-day basis. But the mentorship roles, the teaching roles, the just advisory roles that you all play in the state, even if that's not what's included in your job description, whether you're a parent or you're somebody who has just recently gone through that experience of figuring out what you want to do after college yourself, this is a tool that can be very powerful for folks, and we're really excited to watch people make those connections. So we're here to support, we're here to assist and do whatever we can. We appreciate the time and the effort that the partners on this phone have taken to make this tool what it is to date. And we're really excited to get this into the hands of your students, whether they're first-timers or whether they're adults and employees who are thinking about going back to school to upskill. There's something on this tool for everyone. So we're eager to hear from you how we can get this into the hands of folks in the state and to make sure that Florida continues to be a leader in the nation when it comes to supplying students and parents with this really important information. So we're grateful for the opportunity to talk with you all, and hopefully we'll get to see some of you next week at the Future of Florida Forum. But just know that this is certainly one of those initiatives that we're hoping doesn't end the day that we release it. We want to continue to learn from you how we can make it better, how we can work with partners in the state to get them the type of resources and information that they need. So just know that that invitation is open and will continue even after September 28th. So I certainly, again, appreciate your time. And with that, I believe I'll hand things over to my colleague, Mark.
Okay. I think thank you so much for that lovely introduction. I'm supposed to have control of the screen, right? Hello?
Yes, Mark, you do.
Okay. Well, I don't seem to have it. Okay, there it goes. Okay, thank you. So we've been working at the issue of returns on investment. What are the high-value training programs in the state? What are the degrees that would put people in solidly into the middle class with family-sustaining wages? Over the years that we've been working on this, and given the continuing evolution of the economy, the fundamental lesson that we have learned is that what you study matters, and in many ways what you study matters much more than where you study it. And part of the reason about why what you study is so important is that increasingly it's about skills. Skills, skills, and more skills. This is what we hear from employers. This is what students need in order to get into the job market. So there's this trope that goes around that says 65% of tomorrow's jobs don't exist today. That the, you know, between AI and robots, we're going to have many, you know, a whole new panoply of jobs that we never even heard of. And if we look back from the, say, let's say the year 2000, in 2000, you're not going to believe this, but it's true. Amazon was trading at $2 a share. Uber did not exist. Google was just a startup. As I said, Amazon. And the world in the last 17 years, the world has changed dramatically. But the jobs of today are pretty much have the same kind of titles and the same kind of structure as the jobs that of yesterday. So it's not that 65% of tomorrow's jobs don't exist today. The jobs will be there, but what really will change is that at least that many jobs, if not all the jobs in this country, will be transformed by the skills that are required to get and to keep them, right? I mean, we could just think of what tellers do. We could think of what we do when we used to have secretaries. Secretaries, you know, are just their jobs have been radically transformed. Our jobs have been radically transformed, and we just need to continue changing the skills that we need. Even if our jobs, even if our job titles don't change, even if we go to work in the same, you know, wearing the same kind of clothes and we go to the same kind of office, it's the skills that you need to succeed are going to be constantly changing. And we have to focus on the skills that students get and that students have in order to get into the job market. So skills add to the number of jobs a graduate can compete for, and the wages they can command. And this is the fundamental lesson that we're trying to push through this. College has many, many, many attributes and purposes, but the focus on this is about the skills that students have and finding the right skills that will allow them to compete for many more jobs and to get higher wages. So part of the reason that this is important is because skills influence career and earning trajectories. So the fact of the matter is that if you start with a low salary, you are going to be in a hole for a very long time, if not for the rest of your life. So the beginning job, the beginning wage is an anchor if you start low. And if you start high, in general, you stay high. So we've traced student careers, we've traced wages out for, you know, 20 years, and the fact of the matter is that if you start low, the odds are you're going to end low, and if you start high, the odds are you're going to end high. So, the insight that's driving us is that adding the right skills to a course of study can pay off today and tomorrow. So I'm going to just show you a couple of slides that we don't show these on the site, but they'll give you the underlying argument underneath what we're trying to do. So here's a slide that says adding skills to a liberal arts AA degree. So we know that about maybe 40 to 45% of students in community colleges, and about half the students in the nation, college students are in community colleges, about, let's say, 40% of those are in programs that are designed for transfer programs. In the state of Florida, 1 year after completing an AA in liberal arts, only 16% of those students are pursuing a bachelor's degree. Nationwide, 6 years after starting a transfer AA degree, only 16%, 17% of the students have achieved a bachelor's degree. So most of the time, even though in the state of Florida is very careful about this, it's a, you know, 2 over 2, the object is to get people into community colleges and then into bachelor's programs. The fact of the matter is that a large number of students in Florida and nationwide who are doing liberal arts training, liberal arts degrees, that all too often ends up as their terminal degree. So what this demonstrates is a set of skills, and this comes from Burning Glass data, this is a set of skills that we can identify that would increase the number of jobs students could apply for, and that's the darker line, and the wage bump that students could get if they mastered these skills. So this data comes from Burning Glass, which scrapes advertisements, right? It's scraping job ads in the state of Florida. Actually, does it nationwide, but we've asked them to do this for the state of Florida. And it looks for these words, employee training, salesmanship, account management, and looks at the salaries that are posted and counts the number of jobs that mentions those skills. So you can look down the list on the side, and you can see that a lot of these have to do with retail sales, because many people with AA degrees actually end up in retail sales. Some of them are business development. Some of them are solution sales engineering. And you can see each one of these particular skills increases the number of jobs. You can see, for example, sales management increases the number of jobs over 14,000. Account management could essentially double the wages that a student could compete for. So these are the kinds of skills that empirically a student in an AA degree could add to their studies and increase the likelihood that they will have a family-sustaining wage. So we do that for clusters of majors. So the liberal arts degree is big enough, so there are lots of students in there, but we might cluster together social sciences, arts, and humanities, depending on the number of students that we could find in the state. So here's another example. This is adding skills to an information technology associate's degree. And you see that the skills that are in high demand and have high payoff are radically different than the ones for an AA in liberal arts. And that's not surprising. It should be that way. And again, you could see the increased number of jobs that you could compete for in the state of Florida with these kinds of skills, networking skills, SQL, project management. And you could see the bump in the expected wages. We do this for both the associate's degrees and bachelor's degrees. So here's an example of adding skills to a business and finance bachelor's degree. Again, the skills are different, as you would expect. The number of jobs that you could increase and compete for, and the expected wage bump. So this is just we never show these bar charts. I'm going to show you how we communicate this information to students, but this is the underlying structure of the data. It's like these skills are hot skills. These are the skills that have the maximum impact on the number of jobs and the maximum impact on the wages that you can compete for. So what we're trying to do in Launch My Career Florida is we're taking this kind of information about hot skills and high wages and integrated into a way that is usable for students. So this is the landing page, right? So top picks on the right hand side, top picks for Florida are high ROI, and all this is explained on the web page with rollover buttons, boxes, and all that kind of stuff. So top picks for Florida are high ROI programs, high return on investment. And we calculate return on investment over what are the wages that you can expect to earn over the next 20 years of work life, and we take out the years it takes you to get that degree and how much you invested in getting a particular degree. So it's really the ROI is the net present value of the flow of money that you could, the added amount of money you could expect to earn for any particular degree in public colleges and universities in the state of Florida. Hot jobs are the jobs we work with the state on this. These are the jobs that people expect to have the fastest growth rates in the state. Top majors, again, high ROI majors, and then you could link to any school in the bottom column. There's search boxes and, you know, the kind of usual stuff that you could expect. What we've learned is that I could sit here and I could tell you X, Y, and Z. When you get on the site, you would, like, if I said do this, like, within 2 minutes, you're way ahead of me, right? Because you're saying, let me see what this does. We've done this with students, and we say, well, now you should do this. And they say, no, but what about this and what about this? So it's a very intuitive, we hope it's a very intuitive site. We tested with hundreds of students, and we think it worked fine. So this is a landing page for a particular program in a particular university. As Jamie noted, we have information. All these estimates are at the program level for every program in the state of Florida. This is the university system, the college system, and the district technical centers. So we have all the data about wages. The DO has given us the wages for 1 and 5 years out, and we then do projections for the ROI. So this is business commerce. That's the name of the program. It's CIPCO, the Classification Instructional Program. It's a BA degree, and we blacked out the university here because it's supposed to be a testing. But the fact of the matter is, if you go on launchmycareerfl.org, you could actually, it's pretty much working right now. We have a beta version that's out there right now. So there are various ways that you could have gotten to business commerce at the University of X. And you can see this is the landing page for that program in that university. We have this for every program in every college, every university, every district technical center in the state of Florida that has sufficient numbers of students without violating confidentiality. So the centerpiece is the how much more money you will make on average than a high school graduate over the next 20 years. And that is, so here we see $956,000 for business, a business degree from this university. The years to launch, I'll show you how that works in a minute. We have a lifestyle calculator, which I will show you. And that would, it tells you, like, how many years is it going to take you to get to your, get to the lifestyle that you want. In the upper right-hand corner, we have a calculator for people who already started their careers. So what happens is that we ask them a different set of questions about are they starting a brand new career? Are they looking for something that's close to what they're doing? Are they going to give up their jobs entirely? Or are they going to work, just reduce the number of hours they're working? And we try to help them understand how many years it might take to break even on their investment of time and money. In the lower left-hand corner, this is the average first year earnings, and this is required by the state of Florida. As you may know, you're required to report this for every program. We do this for everybody anyway, but this is a legal mandate from the state of Florida. We compute the average cost of the degree, which is tuition times the amount of time it takes to the average time it takes to get the degree. I'll talk about the add a skill box in a minute. And then on the lower right-hand corner, that's the Gallup data about students who are deeply interested in the work they do, they have the ideal job, and are they satisfied? So let's say, again, we have the ROI for this particular program at this particular university. So the first thing we can do, the first thing we can do is we can do this lifestyle goal calculator. And we have five questions, and students answer these questions, right? They answer these questions to reflect their goals in life, and as they answer these questions, we use the census to estimate the cost of these choices. And we end up, as you personalize your lifestyle goal calculator, we estimate the annual salary that you need to achieve the lifestyle that you just told us you want. And we know what the trajectory of earnings are from the state DO data. And what we do is we calculate how long the trajectory of earnings increases is until it crosses that estimated annual salary to meet the lifestyle goal. And that is the, and that's how we get the time to launch number. And that will change, the time to launch will change as you personalize your lifestyle goal. The add a skill is operationalizing the kinds of bar charts I showed you before. So here we have the four most important skills that are associated with the business commerce degree. So recruitment, cybersecurity, business development, supply chain management are the kinds of skills that we have determined from the Burning Glass data are the ones that are most in demand for business and commerce. So what happens is that you, if you click on that box, you see add a skill to boost your earnings. And you then can choose one of these four skills. And what that does is then if you choose recruitment, for example, it changes your ROI. And years to break even, et cetera. So this would be dynamic. We're not doing it in real time right now, but if you click on recruitment, the ROI would change, the years to launch would change, years to break even. All of these things would change because your salary would be much higher. And then the last slide, the last thing that I'll show you, sorry, push the up button instead of the down one, is a quick links to various parts. Sorry, the font is wrong on this, but it's information about enrollment at the university, and then you could actually go to applications, you get for financial aid, FAFSA, deadlines, et cetera. So what we're trying, again, just to end, what we're trying to do here is we are trying to get students to understand the financial consequences of their choices, where they're likely to, most likely to get into careers with family-sustaining wages, how that affects their lifestyle choices, and what kind of skills could be added to their course of study to increase the likelihood they'll get good employment, good wages, and hit their lifestyle goal. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mark. Hello, everyone. My name is Jessica Clark, and I have the privilege of working with this partnership to support with outreach for our efforts. So as Jamie had mentioned at the top of the call, we are working and looking to you as stakeholders to help support us in those communications efforts. On the next slide, you'll see kind of a very macro view of what our efforts have been thus far and what they look like between now and next week with our launch. Today, of course, we are working and with you on the initiative kickoff with our webinars with all of you, so thank you for joining us. We wanted to give you a sneak peek of the site as Mark has walked you through so that you feel empowered to share our message. That this really is a career conversation starter, not only for families, but for businesses as well, as they may help their employees try to get new skills or different skills in order to help them progress in their own offices, as well as connect businesses to students in a way that is preparing for the future. So again, thank you for being on this call. Into next week, we will be looking for your support to share social media. We'll be starting that on Monday, so look to the Florida Chamber Foundation and Florida Chamber websites, specifically Twitter and Facebook. We're going to be pushing out some social media that we would love if you would share with your networks in support of what we're trying to accomplish. We can only reach more people on both of those platforms with your support and sharing. Then that will lead up to the press conference that we will be having on September 28th at 10 a.m. as part of the Future of Florida Forum. That press conference will have all of the partners that you heard from today at that press conference, along with others that will be speaking to and trying to get the word out in a traditional media way. So you will likely be seeing things popping up with your local television stations or across newspapers and trade publications throughout the state. And then lastly, we'll be doing kind of a post-event media and communications outcome. So depending upon your level of interest in working with us, we might be following up with you to see what else you might be able to provide to us as we work together post-event to continue to spread the message. On the next slide are a list of various initiative toolkit items. So at the end of this webinar, we are recording it, and it will be posted onto a website link that will live on the Florida Chamber site so that you can go back and listen to the webinar that we just did today, but also you'll have access to all of these listed items here. So we've pre-prepared multiple different pieces that already have the correct messages and branding to make life a little bit easier for you, as I know you all are very busy, and we wanted to arm you with materials that will help us spread the message without being too burdensome on your very busy days. So those will be posted this afternoon, and we'll send out an email to remind you and let you know where this link is and how you can download these items. Again, the toolkit itself includes, we're going to be working on a statewide press release as well as some localized ones, so we might be contacting some of you to provide a quote if that's something that you're open to providing, but we're going to be doing that in key regions around the state. You'll also find in the toolkit a fact sheet that you can share with your networks, and then also kind of some little, as we call, cheat sheet items. So if you're from an organization that may not have a seasoned communications personnel, that there's some little tip sheets for you, and that's something you can not only hold on to for this initiative, but past that point. That's a media relations tip sheet. So, for instance, if you get contacted by press, which don't think should be the case, but you never know. So if you get contacted by them or know how to interact with press appropriately or how to work with social media, you've got both of those tip sheets. Additionally, we've pre-prepared about 10 or so different Facebook and Twitter graphics. You can see one there on the right, and you can use those on your profiles, but we would highly encourage you to share the content that we're putting out. You'll also find on that same website as part of the toolkit a what we call a one feature, just basically a leave-behind piece that can easily be printed on your printer or it can be downloaded as a PDF and sent in an email. It kind of introduces the initiative itself and then talks about the types of audiences that can be benefited by the link, as well as gives a few specific facts that Mark reviewed today and what can be helpful to people. If some of you on the phone happen to be some more entrenched partners with us, and so there'll be that tracking sheet available as well, and again, the website page hub for materials. Some other additional things that you may hear about along the way that we are also working on, we'll be sending out op-eds and placed in local markets as well, so you might see some of those coming out. And then we'll also be working with some of the universities across the state. We have key students submitting different pieces, so you might hear about the website through those avenues, as well as the School Counselors Association. And the K-12 public information offices will also be distributed information. So as Jamie had talked about before, we really are trying to have this be a full, all-encompassing approach because it really cannot live beyond what we provide during a press conference unless we really have that deep-seated partnership. So that's where you all come in. So on the slide you see here, these are just some other additional ideas for if you really want to jump in and support this initiative, which we hope you do. These are some different options and things that you might consider doing depending on your level of involvement. As mentioned before, we can share social media. You might want to include the one-pager as part of a newsletter e-blast that you might be putting out next week, or even if it's not next week. If you have a monthly newsletter, something might come afterwards, we would love for you to include that within those emails. And then also connecting with bloggers. Some of you have specific connections with them, and we would love for you to share any information or at your next, if you're a chamber on the phone or at your next local event, sharing the one pager would be great as well. So you can go back and look at the website here for this list, but I just wanted to hit a few high points. And then to close, if you wouldn't mind going to the next slide, you will see what you can do. So as mentioned before, the biggest ask that we have of this group is that we would love for you to be involved in the press conference itself. And if you're not able to attend in Orlando where the press conference will be, we're also going to have a Facebook Live feature. So if you log into Facebook and go to @FLChamber, you can watch live the press conference. We'll be taking questions and paying attention to those comments throughout the press conference. So we would love your support there. If you are able to attend the press conference, it will be part of the Future of Florida Forum in Orlando. So we would love to have you. We are actively looking for groups and organizations and people involved to stand with us. And so we would love to see if you have interest in that. And then again, just really sharing the Facebook and Twitter content that we'll be starting to produce next week. We would love to get to your networks that you have as well in order to really get this in front of the people who really need it, which are our students, whether that be high school or even college. We have a lot of freshmen who look to something like this to say, I'm in college and I'm not really sure what to do next, or I'm in high school and I'm looking to figure out what the best options are for me. So you have people not only as students in your lives, but also you might have nieces, nephews, and other family members that may benefit from this as well. So sharing that content online will be very helpful to us. So I think it's now time to pass things over to Brandy.
Thanks, Jessica. So, yeah, now that we've heard from Mark and from Jamie and from Jessica, we are ready for questions. So if you have a question for us, and I think I've seen a couple come in through the website, which I'm happy to read off, but if you have a question, if you'll hit *1 to queue up, that would be great. *1. But Jamie, while we wait for everybody to queue up for their question, I wanted to ask you. You know, in Florida, we hear from our members around the state that talent is the most important thing, and that you know, closing the skills gap and really enriching the talent supply is their number one issue. Is that something you're seeing at the U.S. Chamber Foundation nationwide, or is this a unique issue for Florida?
Most definitely nationwide, Brandy. Whether it's a company, large or small, whether you're talking about a rural area, one that has been long in manufacturing, or one that is on the cusp of energy, it doesn't know. Every industry is really facing this issue. And as I said, a lot of it just comes down to the lack of information, which is hard to believe in such an information-driven, information-rich society in which we live. But there's a lot of it out there. Students don't really know where to go. When you look at the types of surveys of where are you getting, you know, information about what you want to study, a lot of times it's based on who is within your network. So if you don't know any manufacturers, you probably have no idea what that industry looks like nowadays. So it's something that we commonly hear from chamber members and have certainly for, you know, the past decade. But I think that even within the past year or so, it's become so dire. At the chamber, we actually have another initiative called Talent Pipeline Management that focuses on trying to get employers to organize themselves in a really strategic way. So you've got competitors who are working with one another because they're so desperate to expand their talent pipeline. So we think a tool like Launch My Career can really assist in helping students understand, as Mark said, the importance of skills and how that plays into your preparation for the workforce. But the fact that we can, you know, highlight what those hot jobs in Florida are and the career pathways to get them, again, puts you all in a different position than some other states in the country. So while it is a nationwide problem, I think the fact that you have a state-specific solution is a way for you all to have a leg up.